and welcome back to the podcast. If you're new here, my name is Sheen, and today this is part of the Building Wealth for Women series brought to you by Pepperstone. And we are joined by an incredible guest, Sylvia Eldawi. So Sylvia is an incredibly interesting person and just a vibe in general, but she has also navigated the corporate life and now she is building her own empire. And she's done a lot of career shifts, she's moved countries, and also she's mastered the money mindsets needed to create wealth on your own terms. Plus, she has her own podcast. So please join me in welcoming Sylvia. Hello, Sylvia.
Hello. And for today's gender reveal...
It's crazy. This was not planned.
This was not planned. And when I saw you, I was like, right, it's like one of those, again, based on money mindset. Mm. Have you seen that reel where it's... rich gender reveals versus poor gender reveals.
No. So
the rich gender reveal was a G class, unraveled. Is it blue or pink? And the poor one was disinfectant color down the toilet. Like which?
What like color?
What color's a flush? Yeah. So, on that. So I'm Sylvia, the vibe, also known as the golden girl of real estate. Mm-hmm. I've been in the real estate industry for 22 years. Not a broker, I might add. I started off as a broker and then went into management very quickly, became a director. So I've been a boss in the industry for a long time, moved into prop tech. I co-founded a prop tech startup. And just 2 years ago, I went out on my own.
Oof.
And here we are.
I
don't want to say content creator, but I call myself like an edutainer. Mm. So my show is bringing all the best minds of real estate and getting their golden nuggets. So the show is called Golden Nuggets with Sylvia Eldawi. I've got a pop-up show called Golden Nuggets Tea and Tales, which is where real estate agents come and they spill the tea on the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. So like there is a perception about people in the industry, we're money hungry, we're this, we're that, but the general public have no idea what goes on in the real estate world or in the life of a real estate agent. So It's just a kind of nice little reflection on one of the most important industries, I believe, in the world.
Amazing. You know, I was watching that show on Netflix, all of these...
Sunset. Yeah.
And then I'm like, wow, their lives seems to be very dramatic.
Yes. Drama, style,
money,
competitiveness, it's all there. But there's horror stories that go on in the background, like literally people losing millions overnight. Now, it's not like you had a million in your pocket and you lost it. It's like you were so close to closing a deal that was going to net you a million dirhams or a million pounds and then it just disappears. Mm. So you've got to be super resilient to be in this industry because money comes, money goes.
Yeah. And okay, so for this series, the idea is we want to tell women actual, you know, takeaways in terms of how to build wealth. Mm-hmm. And also just kind of like, you know, to create empathy and community around how we think about money.
Yeah.
So my first question to you is, what is your relationship with money currently?
Currently, okay. So currently I'm in the abundance mindset when it comes to money. There is an abundance of wealth. It's not that you have to take it from someone else. It's there. You can create your own little, like rather than, I don't like to think of it as a pie and you take a slice of the pie. You can create your own pie. And that's what I've done with my new company that I founded, Propology. So I'm just creating my own little pie and one, you know, taking a big slice until other people come on board and start taking a slice of it. So my attitude to money now is invest. I never had a very good investment mindset. And I don't know if that's a woman thing or it's just a me thing, but I was just, you know, that whole rainy day mentality.
It's like, also safe. How we were raised, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, and let's talk about that, the way that we were raised. Mm. We both grew up in, I'm guessing you grew up in London.
No.
Oh, where?
I grew up in Mauritius.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you were a Londoner. I mean, I came from very humble beginnings.
Oh, yeah, me too.
You know, and I'm not going to say it's a rags to riches story, but to some degree. But I always had this feeling that I'm supposed to be rich. Like, I'm not supposed to suffer. And, you know, I grew up on council estates and we didn't have much money. And like my first job, I got paid £15 a day. And that was excruciating, but it was very rewarding making a whole £15. Now, if I look at that, I'm like, get out of bed for less than. I used to go to, do you remember the Body Shop?
Yeah.
So the Body Shop, I couldn't even afford Body Shop products. But every Saturday I'd go in and they'd give you little samples in these little top. So that used to be the highlight of my weekend, is going into Body Shop and getting as many samples as possible. So when I started making money, my mentality changed a little bit. And I was kind of like, it was a bit like revenge finances. It was like, right, I can afford it now. I'm not buying Body Shop. I'm buying Creme de la Mer. Give me your finest creams and moisturizers and toners. And but now I'm just a little bit more sensible with money. Like I don't feel the need to impress anymore like I used to, perhaps in my 30s. I'm in my 40s now. It's hard to believe. But thank you. I'm not into kind of splurging cash on big status symbols. Like for me, it's about, well, I don't have a pension and what am I leaving behind? Not that I want to leave anything behind, because there's no one to leave anything behind to. but it's, how am I going to be able to retire early?
Right.
So I'm thinking, right, you've got 15 years max. I want to be working. Maximum. In fact, I don't really want to be working at all, let's be honest.
Let's say 5 more years.
5 more years.
15.
Till I'm 60. Yeah, that's a bit long. Let's say 5 more years. Mm. How am I going to retire comfortably and afford the same lifestyle with the same things that I want to do then? And it is just investment. It's not a 9-to-5. And that took me a while to unravel, because that's so deeply ingrained in... I mean, even going back to our educational system, like education, they scammed us. They really, they did us dirty. And this, like Bunsen burners. Have you ever needed a Bunsen burner or done anything with a Bunsen burner coming out of school?
No.
Algebra. Have you ever algebraed anything?
No.
Okay. Like all this stuff that... Shakespeare, like reciting Shakespeare. Like, I want to learn. Why didn't we learn about taxes? Why didn't we learn about invest? Nothing, because they want to. The education system or the curriculum is gearing you up to be an employee. That's it. Now you went to, I was about to say Harvard. You went to Oxford and Cambridge.
Yes.
So mashallah, you've
thank you.
But again, you probably didn't learn finance.
Nothing.
Right?
No.
So it's. You're taught to become an employee.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that mindset for a very long time. And, you know, you're told to hold down a job, one company as long as possible. And I did that. And I was with one company for like 10 years. And that was, while it was a good time, I made a lot of money, learned a lot. I got very stale after about year 4, 5, like 2 years after my top promotion, I stayed in my last role 6 years. And that was me coasting. And what I could have done with those 6 years was accelerate myself to the nth degree. And I didn't. I just got comfortable, cozy. And you become like part of the furniture. So that's another thing that maybe perhaps women do, is we rely on, you know, you get so comfortable in high paid salary job, but actually, and then you're too tired to side hustle anything.
To do anything. Yeah.
So I would have got a side hustle much earlier on. But now, you know, I don't like to call it side hustle. I do multiple things, but they're all allowing me to live in the way that I want to live and build wealth, inshallah.
Inshallah. Mm-hmm. But before we get into the actual multiple streams of how to make income, I want to take a few steps back to when you were talking about how we grew up and our money mindsets around that. I recently realized this as well, because I'm a hoarder of money. Mm-hmm. You know,
especially when
I started working for the first time, I remember the happiness and joy I would feel when I would see the numbers in my bank account, because especially coming from like a brokey student who used to have £25 all the time. And oh, and the number of times Lloyds would message me being like, you are under £25 in the bank account.
Like, warning. Yeah.
Well, what do you want me to do about it?
Yeah.
So, but then when you start making money, it's automatic that you want to hoard it.
Yes.
And again, based on how we grew up, because we didn't have that kind of money where we'd be like, oh, let's invest this extra money. There was no extra money. So that's why we have this mentality. And it's so important to break out of that once you get to that level. And as you said, the whole scarcity versus abundance mindset. Mm. And money is just energy, right? Where people say it comes and goes. Of course, I'm not saying money is not important. We all love it. But it's about realizing that sometimes you need to spend money to make money. Sometimes you need to put money away to make money. Mm-hmm. So it's all a lot of money mindset shifts.
And you have to make your money work for you.
Absolutely.
Instead of working for money, make your money work for you. And that's something that not a lot of people have got their head round. And I'm getting my head round it now. I'm still a bit nervous. Don't get me wrong. I'm not gambling, you know, or like taking big risks. I like traditional lines of investment. And of course, we were always raised to know that real estate is the finest investment that you can make. Did I buy enough real estate? No. I bought some property in London. Mm-hmm. I haven't bought here yet, and I've been living here for 8 years.
Surprising. Yeah. Why?
I'm probably A, a fool, and B, I got to the stage where I was like, well, who do I think? Do I think I'm Trump having all this land everywhere? Like, I don't need to have a massive portfolio, because in my 30s, I was like, well, I'm going to marry someone and let us build together. Like, let me not overtake him. Let's do it together. Let me wait. And now I'm in my 40s and I'm still waiting, but, I just, again, risk mentality, because you just, especially in Dubai, it's like there's so much, again, there's an abundance of real estate that you think, actually, maybe I'm better off buying where there's scarcity, which is places like London, established cities. So I always had that mentality of buy property in London, you're sure going to be rewarded with capital appreciation 10 years down the line, 15 years down the line. But now in the UK, they're making it so difficult for landlords to actually run a business. And they're trying to push the private landlord out with all the latest reform bills. You're only allowed to increase the rent in line with inflation. They're just making it difficult so the corporations can come in, sweep up and own all this real estate. They don't want the individual landlord there, so they're making it quite difficult. And it's already quite hard to rent in the UK as a tenant. So I should be buying property in Dubai. I am an advocate for Dubai real estate. I just haven't got round to it yet.
Quick break for a word from today's sponsor. Are you looking to turn global trends into trading opportunities? Meet Pepperstone, where top-tier trading tech meets competitive pricing. Trade Forex, commodities, shares, and indices with ultra-low spreads starting from zero on a Razor account. Fast execution? Check. 24/5 support? Check. Plus, you can trade on MetaTrader, CTrader, TradingView, and more. And don't worry, they're fully regulated by top financial authorities worldwide. So why wait? Trade smarter with Pepperstone today. There's a link in my bio for you to check it out, and a huge shout out to Pepperstone for supporting Building Wealth for Women through this podcast. Thank you.
So see, this answer is what I get in general when you talk to women about investing their money. It's like, I really want to. Yeah. I want to invest here, here, here. I haven't gotten around to it.
Yes. I don't know what I'm waiting for.
What is it? What do you think is the real block?
The real block, it's the one, apart from it being something that I wanted to build with someone, but okay, let's say that doesn't happen. Your first mortgage in Dubai, you'll get a higher LTV ratio, which is loan to value. Mm-hmm. So the banks will lend you 80% to buy a property. If it's a second or subsequent purchase, you'll probably only get 60%. Mm. So for that reason, it makes more sense to buy your main purchase, the most expensive purchase first, because you'll get a higher LTV. So before I buy an investment property, I want to buy my
forever
Dubai home. Not forever home, but my retirement home, maybe. I'm going to kind of dip in and out of retirement. So that's why, because it's I'm not thinking investment. I'm thinking this is where I'm going to live. Mm. And because Dubai is moving at such a fast pace, you've got, you know, when I first moved here, it was like downtown, City Walk. They were the places to be. Now there's lots more places to be. And I have to think, well, what is my life going to look like? Where am I needing to get to in Dubai? What are the, you know, the infrastructure is going to have changed considerably in 5-10 years time. Am I going to have children? Am I going to have, do I need access to, what my hobby is going to be in five? So I'm just not at that stage to answer those questions. Mm. So I'll continue to rent, but it is just, whilst it's dead money, I still like the flexibility of being able to say, no, I'm leaving. I fancy something new. So I've been here now 8 years and I've moved 3 times. So everywhere I'm like 3 years, 3 years, 3 years. Mm. That works well for me. But I think the next move needs to be the forever home.
Ooh, okay.
But I'd like to do it with someone.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. But now that we're talking about this, you know, I feel like I struggle with this as well. So even the first time when it came to investing my money, I kept thinking, yeah, I need to do it. I need to do it. I will. It's just I don't know how.
Right.
And that's usually the reason why we don't do it. Yeah. We think, oh, it's just too much effort to educate ourselves.
Right.
And I think now we don't even have that excuse because it's so easy to learn. ChatGPT will tell you.
ChatGPT, YouTube tutorials. You know, everyone's got like a crypto bro friend or a trading friend.
Yep.
And actually, I got this advice from, again, this should not be construed as financial advice. This is for entertainment purposes only. Mm. But he was like, because I said to him, I was like, look, I've got this money. I was like, it helped me to learn day trading. He's like, listen, you haven't got the skin for day trading, right? You haven't got the nerves to lose a substantial amount of money one day and then perhaps gain it the next day. So he's like, just invest in the S&P 500.
Mm-hmm.
And then first of all, he was like, buy gold and keep buying gold every month. And I was like, oh, and I made this mistake before because my mum, she was like, Sylvia, you're in Dubai. You should be investing if you're not going to buy real estate, buy gold. So I was like, oh, okay, mum. Pop down to Dubai Mall, Van Cleef.
Oh, Lord.
I was like, look, mum, I bought gold. And she's like, oh, lovely. Okay. But that's not what I meant.
That's not the gold that we're talking about.
So you should be buying gold. And he gave some really good advice. He was like, because he was like, oh, see, if you'd have bought gold when I told you to 2 years ago, it was a 1400 or something, I don't know. And now it's doubled in price. But he's like, keep buying so that your average price of gold levels out. Does that make sense? So even if it goes up and down, the more you buy, the more like your average purchase price evens itself out. And the same with the S&P 500, who's like, just stick to the same stock and keep growing. Like just stay in one lane and you'll be fine.
It's the long game, right?
It's the long game. Mm. So that was advice that I have taken and also not done anything with yet, but I will. I'm going to get down to gold and diamond souk very soon.
Perfect.
And start buying some gold bars.
Yeah. I remember when my mom came, she was like, let's go to the jewelry shop. And she was like, I want to buy gold. And I was like, oh, she's buying jewelry.
Mm.
And then she was asking for the coins.
Yes.
And I was like, what is that? She's like, that's what it means to buy
gold.
Is that
an earring?
Oh, that's a bit big. But I didn't even know.
Yeah.
That's how uneducated we are about all these things.
Right.
So I feel like even the women older than us were better at this game of like buying gold because they understood there's a generational wealth that you pass down and it increases in value.
Right.
But, you know, again, stepping a few steps back, you left the 9-to-5 job.
Mm.
I did too. Mm-hmm. We were both in like corporate world. We kind of like dabbled in the startup world as well.
Yeah.
Then now we're doing just a few random things that don't necessarily bracket together, but they're nice.
There will be a name for people like us very soon.
I think there is already. It's called Squiggly Career.
Squiggly Career? Yeah. I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
Explain.
So there's this woman who who came up with a book and she termed it Squiggly Career.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot her name. But it's basically saying that, you know, in the past, our career would look like this, right? You would always climb the ladder and you'll go up consistently. But now people are doing squiggles.
Right.
because you might get, as you did, you became a director in your field. So you went up, then you started something else where you probably started a little bit lower down to learn the ropes for that. And then you start something else and then you start something else. So that's what they mean by the squiggles.
Okay.
But yeah, and also I feel like now and going into the future, very few people will only have one job that they do. Everyone has at least two things that they're interested in, that they're good at, to make money, the whole thing about passive income. So I think we are moving in the right direction. But
what in?
What in? We don't know.
Yeah.
Did you see the statistics that by 2030, 80% of the jobs in the job market that will be there have not been created yet?
Interesting. Is that, it's probably something to do with AI. Like AI is going to come in and take over a load of jobs.
Yeah.
But maybe potentially.
And that creates new job, right? Mm-hmm. Because for the AI management, even now we can see that, for example, AI ethics and law is coming up. Mm-hmm. So we need people who can do that. But anyway, so the reason we both left our jobs is probably because we realized that this is not the way to build wealth.
Yeah.
Do you think
We were building wealth for other people.
Right.
But not ourselves.
Not for
and
ourselves.
And I was giving, and I'm sure you were too, I was giving blood, sweat, and tears.
Same. My best.
And so I was like, well, if I could do this for this man who I've got zero bloodline connection to, imagine what I can do for myself. Mm. So that was part of my motivation.
Of course, always. Mm. But do you think it's possible for people to become wealthy while staying employed?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I've said this before on another podcast. And I'd love to be proven wrong. And we have to make the differentiation between rich and wealthy. So rich is just lots of money, I guess. Wealthy is, my interpretation is is where lots of money can get passed down to generations. Do you see it differently?
No, I agree. And I think wealth is where you're not thinking about money anymore. You could stop working. And as you said, your next generations might also not need to be working and they'll be taken care of. But rich is where you can afford the luxuries of life.
Right. Yeah. So you can get rich in a job, but not wealthy. Mm. You can get wealthy in that job if you're taking your salary and investing it.
Mm.
But if you're just going to sit, collect your salary and, you know, stay in this job for 20 plus years, then no, I can't see how it could happen. So I'm glad we both worked that out early on. But a lot of people don't make that connection. And it's fine. Not everybody wants to be wealthy, by the way. Like some people, it's not necessarily a recipe for happiness.
Right.
And
right.
What was it? I saw Mr. Beast the other day. He's like the richest when he had made the most money or whatever. And he was at his most miserablest. Is that even a word? No. Miserablest?
No.
Okay. He was at his highest point of misery.
Yeah.
And so it's not for everyone. Not everybody aspires to that. But to be honest, I'd like to be wealthy, but I'm not itching for it because I know it also causes family problems as well and inheritance and, you know, issues.
And it changes you as a person, right?
Yeah.
I feel like there are levels of being rich. I remember one time my friend was telling me, I don't know if this is like an actual framework, but apparently there's like these four levels of
richness.
Where the first level is when you go to the supermarket and you don't look at the price before you buy something.
Okay, check for that.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Second level is when you go to restaurants and you don't check the price for food. Yeah. The third one is when you travel, you're booking flight tickets, you don't check the price. You check the most convenient one for you.
I do sort by, but maybe still, that's because we're flexible.
I'm also a little bit still of like, I'm ethnic, so I need the best deal.
Are you flying business at least?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Okay.
But.
Check.
Again, right? Flying business is, again, another level of being rich. And then I guess the final one is where you don't look at any you don't even know how much anything costs, right? And you know how they do all these things of like asking rich people, how much do you think milk is? How much do you think milk is, Sylvia?
I think it's 15 dirhams for a liter or 2 liters.
Are you crazy? Is that 4 dirhams? it is 15. Give me 15. I'll go buy you some milk.
I just throw anything in the Insta shop and it's always like for basic stuff. My Insta shop bill is always like 150 minimum just for like bread, eggs, milk. So yeah, I would have thought 15, but wow. Clearly not.
I don't know what milk you're buying, but...
Just Al Marai, regular.
Okay, but yeah, so there are different levels of rich. And I think we also probably aspire to some level. That's not necessarily the level where now it starts to become a problem and, you know, bigger problem, bigger expenses as well. Mm-hmm. But you know, you spoke about Mr. Beast and it just came to mind as well. You know, he earns so much money per YouTube video, but he also spends all of it.
Yeah.
Like one video costs him $1 million to make and he makes $1 million from it.
Yeah.
So he's back to zero after the video.
Even if it's not your income and expenses, you've got what's called lifestyle creep.
Exactly.
So the minute you get a pay rise or the minute you have a really good investment, you upgrade your level of lifestyle and that is expensive. So just... It's about staying, being liquid or having access to, and this is something that I've been hearing in the last year or so, stay liquid, stay liquid. I don't know what people know that I don't know, but that perhaps something is coming.
What does that mean? To stay liquid.
Stay liquid as in, not that
have
there's going to be
flow.
Like a, have easy access to funds, basically. So when you're buying real estate, I wouldn't consider that liquid because it'll take a while
to
sell
up.
The property. It's tied up, but have easy access to your money. Which is kind of investments, crypto, gold, because you can just quickly convert that. But my first experience of that kind of, because I've never been interested in crypto. I don't know, are you in crypto?
Not yet.
But I'm always like, I'm a bit smug and they're going to hate me for this, but like the NFT situation. Do you remember NFTs and the non-fungible tokens back in 2022?
I forgot.
Can someone tell me what's going on with these crazy
apes?
Do you remember the crazy apes?
The number of people I saw quitting their job to come become NFT artists. What happened?
Don't know. Someone leave it in the comments, please.
Yeah, please let us know.
check on your NFT crazy ape friends. Check on. Okay, no, that's really mean. We shouldn't do that.
No.
But yeah, like, so that was one thing that set me back from buying crypto because I was like, oh, well, that just kind of, that was like a 1 year phase or maybe it was even like a 6 months.
It was shorter.
It was a very short flutter of activity. But so earlier on this year, I was in the UK and you know what it's like. You know, in the UK, you get paid just before Christmas. Mm-hmm. Typically, companies will pay you just before Christmas so everyone can have a nice Christmas and New Year's and buy their presents and whatever else. So it's always known that that month and a bit waiting for your salary in January is already like a 5 week month. So it ends up being a 6 week month since your last payday, right?
January is a year.
January felt like a year.
Yeah.
But people do things like veganuary or dry Jan to say like, you know, as part of a health kick, but also because they probably can't afford to live in the month of January. So imagine like the whole of the UK is just on a tight budget the whole of January. And I bank with one of the major banks, I won't name their name, but one of the major banks in the UK decided to have an IT glitch on the last weekend of January, which was payday. So for the whole weekend, and it coincidentally, it was the weekend I went to withdraw a substantial amount of cash. And first of all, like, I thought it would be pretty straightforward. I could just go into the bank and withdraw my cash. This is my money, right? No, Spanish Inquisition. What is this payment for? And he's looking at me over his glasses. What's the payment for? And I felt like saying, none of your business. And this is not something that you can do a bank transfer for. And I was like, you know, all these questions, you're making me suspicious. Do you even have my cash?
Where's like, my money?
He's like, apparently anything over £5,000, you have to order and it takes 24 hours. So I'm like, where is my cash if it's not sitting behind the till?
Yeah.
You've got all this security. Like, what are you protecting back there? So that raised red flags or alarm bells. I was like, okay, the banks do not have the cash that they're supposed to have. They're not liquid. And then the glitch happened and I was like, oh, here we go. Here we go. Now, there was a big thing on TikTok where people were going to the cash machine and it went viral. People going to the cash machine and withdrawing £250 and it wasn't reflecting in their account. So they were like, guys, TikTok.
Free money.
The cash machines are giving free money. So there's so many reels going around. And lo and behold, on Monday when the glitch was over, everyone was overdrawn. But I was like, I was on edge for that weekend. I was like, okay, and I know you're protected in the UK up to £85,000. The government will give you back in case there's a bank collapse. Mm. But Silicon Valley last year, well, a couple of years ago, the Greek bank all that time ago, it was like the banks, not saying that they're on the verge of collapse, but they don't have your cash. Like if we all went in and withdraw our cash.
They don't have it.
They don't have it.
No.
So that little scenario just led me to think, and it happened again at the end of February with some other major banks. So I'm now thinking cash isn't safe in the bank. Mm. Now crypto is starting to make sense. Mm. So I'm exploring, but I'm exploring that. And yeah. I reckon if one of those major banks does collapse, mm. that will see crypto
of course.
Prices That's skyrocket.
Going to bring in more people as well.
To the moon.
To the moon. Crypto to the moon. Let's go. But talking about, you know, making your money work for you, mm. especially not now that we shouldn't be keeping too much of it in the banks, maybe back under the mattress, no?
Yes, maybe. No? Probably safer. Because you don't have to worry about being burgled here in Dubai. But I wouldn't keep money under the mattress in London.
Oh, yeah. My goodness, no.
Oh, my God, it was so funny that, you know, they don't even give you an envelope. So when I did eventually get my cash,
yeah.
they won't give you an envelope to put your money in. I was like, why not?
Why?
And because we don't want you to be targeted when you leave. And it's like, I'm not going to walk out the bank
flashing the envelopes.
So in the end, I was wearing a hoodie with one of those pouches.
Did you put it here?
And I put it all in this pouch. And I was like, I felt so nervous just taking the 20 steps I needed to take. But it was very terrifying.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's the downside of cash, is that...
Of course.
Of course, it can be disappearing.
You become it around.
You become a target, but yeah.
But when it comes to investing... Mm. Of course, you said you believe in the traditional forms of investment, like real estate.
S&P 500.
Yeah. Mm. So if someone was new to this whole world of real estate, what would be your advice on where to start?
Start on YouTube and learn. Mm. So understand the different, because there's so many different levels of investment. And one thing that might work for me might not work for you. You might be okay to kind of park your money there and swallow it 5-10 years, not look at it. But I might want something a bit more immediate. So it all depends on your mm-hmm. investment appetite and your risk levels of risk taking. But I would start by studying it all on YouTube. If you can't afford real estate, mm-hmm. or you're not at that stage, you can afford real estate. I would look at all these, day trading. I would look at investing in the S&P 500. I would diversify your investments. So have a little bit of everything and see how it works for you. It'll just all level out and hopefully something will work. But, and that's what it is. Even in the startup world, you've got these VCs, big venture capital firms, they invest in 100 startups. They expect 90% of them to fail.
Yeah.
So you should do the same with your investment. Not everything is going to work out, but the 10% should pay for all of your investment, should cover it. So yeah, that's where I'd say begin.
And what if someone wants to buy their first real estate property?
So they can follow my principle of buying the forever home or the principal home or the most expensive first. And then subsequent should be slightly cheaper because mm-hmm. you've got a lower LTV. But I would also explore, and this is something else that they didn't teach you in school, and actually even going through the process of buying my first property, nobody along the way told me this. Nobody. Not the real estate agent, not the conveyancer, not my solicitor, not the mortgage broker. Nobody told me this. Maybe because they didn't know, but you should explore. Again, I'm not giving financial advice here, but explore buying property under a limited company or a trust because you get access to different mortgage products, B, tax efficiency, we'll call it, and inheritance.
Right. For
inheritance management purposes, it's so much better to have your company to have your property under a company than in your personal name. But that's the default. That's what everyone will do because, it's my property. I'm buying it in my name. Here's my ID. But just explore what the wealthy are doing. The wealthy aren't buying properties in their names.
Mm. Yeah, and I think just information, right? educate yourself. Yeah. And but what about finding a broker?
Real estate broker? Mm. You won't have any problems finding a real estate broker in Dubai.
Yeah.
There's 23,000 plus. But the good ones are all specialists in particular areas. So you should do your homework first and decide what your budget is, work out what your finances are, how much you can borrow by speaking to a mortgage advisor first. Once you've got your finance in principle or mortgage in principle, you know how much you can spend, you know how much you can go shopping for. Then decide on what area, what you want to be in based on how many bedrooms you need and so on. So once you've chosen the areas, then there's so many different ways of finding the best agents in that location, but most of them are pretty niche. So you'll have someone in Arabian Ranches, you'll have like people in JBR, specialists. So look for the specialists. And like Property Finder and Bayou, they have these super agents, they have true brokers. Mm-hmm. So there are ways of being recognized as a good broker. But I'll give you one thing for free.
Okay.
Insider a little knowledge. Insider knowledge, how to, and it does, just because you've been in the industry a long, long time doesn't necessarily mean that makes you great, but you've probably got a wealth of knowledge the longer you've been in the industry. And how to identify how long a broker has been in the industry is by their RERA license number. So if you're, so it starts with, I think in circulation, the RERA license numbers start with 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think we're up to 6 now. So 2, if you've got a 2 at the beginning of your RERA license number, you've been in real estate in Dubai for decades. Mm. 3's probably like 15 years. And 4's, you've probably been in real estate for like 8 years.
Okay.
5's maybe 6, 7 years. So the higher the number or the first digit, the shortest your agent has been in the game.
Right.
So if you get a 3 or 4, you know, oh, this person's been doing it for a long time. Mm. It's a bit like kind of, you know, McDonald's stripes on your, they don't do that anymore, do they?
Stars. Do they?
McDonald's, remember back in the day, this is the days of Ronald McDonald. You'd have a badge, you'd have your name badge in McDonald's,
yeah,
and you'd have 5 stars. And depending on how good your customer service was, you'd get all the way up to 5 stars.
Oh,
so this
wow.
is kind of, I mean, no, there is a RERA rating system. It's a bit more credible than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's
Well, that's good
tip
to know. Mm. That's how you can identify an experience.
So now everyone's going to be like, what's your RERA number?
Yeah, I wanted to know the actual number, not just the license.
Yeah. Okay. And that's it. Well, make sure that they're licensed as well, because there's a lot of, you know, taxi driver real estate agents that are not, you know, not registered, not licensed. And anyone that's not licensed is not entitled to earn commission, real estate commissions.
Another thing I keep seeing on social media, especially this one guy, he keeps popping up where he's like, I just bought my 27th flat and I'm putting it on Airbnb and this is how many millions I'm making in a year.
Right.
And it's a whole new thing now where people...
Everyone's a millionaire now, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, at 23, specifically at 23 as well. And there's this whole new trend of people buying to let.
Yes.
And then they're the investment properties and then they don't necessarily live there and they all put it on Airbnb. Mm-hmm. Is that a lucrative way of making money?
That is a sensible way.
Mm.
And maybe even more sensible is like the whole leverage model. Mm. So basically they buy one property, rent it out. Hopefully it increases in price or value over 6 months to a year.
Mm-hmm.
You can then release equity from that property, refinance, buy the second one. And so you're never actually using your own money. You're just releasing equity from each investment that you make. Two things I would say on this. One, be careful what you believe on the internet. Because there's a lot of people, and I see this so much, like there's a lot of people pretending to be making millions because they want to sell you a course or they want to get you subscribed to their community or whatever it may be. Don't fall for everything. It's not investment and building wealth is not a quick fix. It's not an easy thing. It's not something you can learn and create overnight. So A, don't believe everything that you hear on the internet apart from what we say.
Yeah, just us.
We spit truth. Second, you don't have to buy a property to get in with that. There's I follow a couple of people who rent properties to sublease them out. Mm. So there's that model as well, where it's not you're not buying property, you're committing for a 1-year contract, 2-year contract. So rent a property, get permission to sublease it. You then invest in the furniture, immediately put it on Airbnb, booking.com, and people are making good money from this. Of course, people are losing money on bad investments or bad, but again, you learn and it's a business and you will build. I follow this guy, Subleasing Dubai, I think his handle is.
Yeah.
So he does that and he's tracking his, I love that building in public, you know? So he's like tracking all his wins. He's talking about his losses as well. He's talking about, you know, nightmare guests that stayed. So it's just take the right advice, be careful who you're listening to and follow people, learn from them. And if they inspire you to do it, do it. But to become, you know, that in itself is, that wouldn't work for me because I am quite a hands-off landlord.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably to my detriment, but I'm very much to any of my tenants, I'm like, look, I'm not going to overcharge you and I'm not going to increase the rent every year to the maximum. I'm going to be a cool landlord. But guess what? Don't bother me with nonsense.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't bother me every 5 minutes. This is not working. Treat this property like your home.
Mm.
And I cut them a probably too much of a discount because I never hear from my tenants. They don't bother me at all. And the only time we speak is to renew and sometimes renegotiate. Sometimes I'll tell them I'm not increasing the rent. Mm. It's probably my bad, but I do end up with tenants that stay for a very long time and they do treat the property like their own. Now, that model that I'm talking about, that you're talking about, the Airbnb model, that's not real estate. That's not investing. That is hospitality.
Right.
You have to become a hotelier, like Hilton. You have to deal with complaints. You have to deal with people that have just come off a flight and they're frustrated. Where are the keys? They're not happy. The level of cleanliness is not to their satisfaction. I'd end up falling out with these people. I'd be like, you telling me about cleaning? So you've got to pick the business that's right for you.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that makes sense. But now that we've covered money mindsets, we've covered, you know, quitting your 9-to-5, invest your money, real estate, gold, trades, trading.
Maybe an NFT. Well, they're probably worthless now, so it might be a good time to enter.
Buy the dip.
Buy the dip. Maybe in a year's time, they're going to go. I'm curious to know what's going on over there with the NFTs.
Same, we need to look into that. But now there's another side to this that we can talk about in the final part of this podcast. When it comes to dating, you know, as a woman who is well established and financially independent, do you think that's a problem when it comes to dating?
I think it's funny you should mention this actually, because I was just having a conversation with one of my girlfriends a couple of days ago, and she's renting or trying to rent a flat in London, and rents are crazy. And she was just like, I'm doing all of this by myself. I'm paying the entire rent, the bills. She's like, if I had a boyfriend, that's like, it's like giving yourself a double pay rise. It's like doubling your money because you're halving your expenses.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's true. It does cost a hell of a lot of money to be single.
The single tax.
The single tax. Yes, I love it. Yeah, so single tax. So, sorry, what was the question?
That was not the question.
What do I think of...
let's finish this thought that you had first.
Yes, so single tax.
The single tax is real and it's true when you think about it. And I also had this conversation recently with my friend and we were talking about how I said I could have a wife right now because I have a house, I have a car, I have food. Mm-hmm. I was like, and she would help, you know, it would be helpful to have someone here. And I was like, I get it now. And that's a problem with our generation, right? A lot of us have become the rich husband.
Yes.
And now there's no rich husband for us.
Shall I tell you something? So I was like, okay, so we're at the age where we should by now have a maid or a housekeeper and a nanny, right? Mm-hmm. So two on the domestic payroll, correct?
Correct.
We don't.
No.
Now I was doing some maths the other day, again, this like abundance mindset. I was like, the amount of money I'm spending on massages every week or so, blow dries, gel manicure, gel pedicure, eyelashes, and cooking and cleaning. Mm-hmm. So these are like 7 big monthly recurring expenses. I was like, if I hire, what do they call, like a wife to some degree, if I could hire not a nanny, but like a womanny, like, and she can teach her how to blow dry.
Like a life manager.
A life manager in-house. Teach her how to do my blow dries. My mom could teach her how to cook. I'm not doing that part. And she can learn how to do nails and things. And she's just on call for me all day. And I could probably, she could be on call for my friends too. Because I'm not going to need to. We should normalize having a life manager in residence.
I think so. But you know, it makes sense. I saw this girl on TikTok. She said that she's hired a full-time chef. Mm-hmm. And she was like, it's changed her life.
Right.
Firstly, because now she eats healthy. She eats at home. And also she was like, people think it's more expensive, but it's not.
No.
Because we spend so much money on buying food and eating out. And then, and groceries and all of that. But now you have someone here who's cooking whatever you want and making it really good.
And they're using up all the ingredients. I'm sure nothing's getting thrown away.
Yeah, the number of times I'm throwing away vegetables that I was very wishful I would cook. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
And I think that... We need, again, maybe because society has changed, right? So now a lot of people, men and women, are living alone for much longer as professionals. They don't have time to look after their house and themselves. So maybe now we need to get into that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a business model.
I was just thinking that, like, I hope nobody steals this business idea because I might explore it. The womanny.
The womanny.
Or it could be a manny, you get a manny, but like someone in residence to handle you.
The life manager.
The life manager.
I think we need that.
So instead of getting married and,
yeah,
you know, but yeah. So back to dating.
Back to my initial question, which was, you know, now there's a bit of a problem in the dating world where women tend to earn more than men. And then that becomes a problem when it comes to men thinking, oh, maybe I'm not needed. She's independent. She can run away. So have you had any experience with that?
So I think it's if I was a man looking at Dubai, I would, and I was an average earner, I would be terrified because the girls are driving G-classes, the girls are driving nice cars, they're living in nice places, they've got the designer bags and
the
they've
jewelry.
Got the jewelry. So there is a disconnect. Because you have to not only afford you, yourself as a man, but you also should be able to demonstrate that you can, you got your girl too. So I think women perhaps, and this might be seen as controversial, like if you're looking for, not everyone is looking for a rich husband here, okay? So some people are very comfortable building, and I believe in that a lot, that you should meet someone and try and build together, not wait until you've both arrived at your final financial destinations and then come together. And I know this for a, it's not a proven stat, but on my clients, 95% of them are male, successful. And they like 99% of them are married. It's a common recurring theme.
Yeah.
They're all married. And I'm like, okay, so really, you probably wouldn't be where you are today if it weren't for your woman. And women as well, a lot of successful women also have great partners. So you've got to look at this as, it's not transactional. It's just doing it together.
It's a partnership.
It's a partnership. You've got to be each other's number one cheerleaders, biggest supporters, number one fans. Don't be like, you know, and Dubai girls look like, don't talk to me unless you're, you know, got...
I don't do coffee dates.
Yeah, yeah. Like, come on, you know. So, because that guy who does not want to do coffee dates also, he's probably got a long checklist too, by the way, of what he's expecting. She may not even be born yet. Okay, all right, let's not take it. But I strongly believe in partnership and building together. And women, if you want someone who is going to build with you, don't put them off by having such an extravagant lifestyle. Like I have an auntie who shall remain anonymous, but my uncle has no idea how much money she's got in her bank. Like she, and she's still taking from him. Like But it's like she's prepping for, it's like her war money in case of divorce or emergency or something. It's like, she's set herself up. But likewise, we shouldn't, if you're looking super expensive, you're going to put off a lot of people. So maybe you're signaling, don't come talk to me unless you look like you can afford to keep me in this lifestyle. But you're also, the pool is very small anyway. So don't.
It's a puddle.
Don't make it a puddle. Don't make it a spit on the floor just because you want to be kept in a certain way.
I agree. And so, I think that's why there's this whole thing of like, you know, women wrongly thinking, oh yeah, I just want a provider. It's true. And maybe he does want to provide. Mm. He's just not there yet. Yeah. So you can build together.
But provider, it's not just financial. It's like provide security, provide support, provide, you know,
love and affection,
a bit of logic because we're a bit emotional or, you know, overthinkers. Mm. So there's a lot of providing that is needed beyond the financial. But I don't think it's not a conversation you should be having. Like I've never discussed my salary with anyone. Mm. Not even my family know how much money I make or when I was on a salary. But it's not a conversation that should be had in dating. And
really, you don't think people should talk about money?
No, I don't think you should talk about your income.
No. But more like expectations, financial planning.
Not during dating. Like once you're in a relationship and you're building or working towards building a future together, yes, have that conversation. Mm-hmm. But you might, as much as there's gold digger females, there's gold digger guys too.
Yes.
So if you start talking about your real estate portfolio here and there and how much daddy gives you and how much money you make, he might also think, hey, I can retire. So you don't want to attract the wrong person as well. So it's a conversation to be had later on when you're deciding whether you're going to be building something together in the future. But, you know, do I believe that it should be 50-50 or I'm born in, no, I wasn't born in London actually, but I was raised in London. Mm. So I'm okay with splitting. I'm not okay with splitting the bill. Like, yeah, he should have me. And also likewise, I can have him every now and then. Things like rent, mortgage, depends on what situation you're both in. I'm not going to go in and be like, well, you get everything just because you're the man and you're supposed to be a provider. Because again, my pool then becomes a puddle. Because not, you know, women are doing well. We're doing extremely well. And guys, some are doing well, some are not. But, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Fair. I think it's not like a blanket thing that you can apply to everything. Mm. And I think, as you said, it's a partnership.
Yeah.
So it can't be like 50-50 or I've paid this, so therefore you need to pay this.
Yeah.
You are building a life together.
Exactly.
So again, depending, if he's really well off, of course, let him pay for everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But if he's still on his way to being
then consider it as a business.
Exactly. So this is our investment. Yes. How much can I put in? How much can you put in?
Yeah.
Let's use from the pot. Yeah.
Where are we going to go on holidays?
Exactly.
And you have a pot. I believe in a pot.
Agreed. And then if this is the lifestyle he can offer you if he pays for everything,
then just give me
or this is the lifestyle you both can live. Yeah. So then it's all about, you know, choosing where you want to be. But yeah, I agree. I think feminism is just trying to lure us into a wrong way sometimes.
I would have been okay not voting, by the way.
Or working. Not like, the voting. Voting. I still want to vote. I don't want to work.
It's like, whose great idea was that?
But yeah, if anyone is in the job of looking to retire us, you know, we're here. But okay, going back to the serious matter of money, what is your leaving advice to women when it comes to, think about the target audience here. Most of the women who are listening are people who are making good money. Mm-hmm. They have some extra cash on the side.
They have a salary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And or they are, you know, whatever they do, but they have passive income. They have money on the side. What would be your advice to them?
I would say whatever you're thinking of doing full time, like whatever business idea you might have, do it on the weekends. Spend your evenings. We have a lot of time on our hands. If you have a 9-to-5, you're tired. In fact, even do it at work. Nobody's watching. Let's be honest. I've had some jobs where I would say I'm being paid a rather substantial amount, but I'm being utilized like 30% capacity, and mm-hmm. I could spend 7 hours of the day on other stuff. Mm. So use spare time and your private time to build your business. Start building your business behind the scenes. Don't leave until this has got some legs or proves to be fruitful for you, to the point where, of course, you might not make that much money, but if you do the math and work out, well, if I went in, did this full time, and you've got to have that fear in you. If it's comfortable, it's not going to work. You've got to be, and I'm sure you are as well, but some months you're like, where is my next, how much longer can I live like this? Where's the next paycheck? You need to have that little fire in your belly. I had an old boss who used to call it squeaky bum time. I don't know why.
Why?
I don't even know what it means, but it's like squeaky bum time. Like, it's time to get a bit nervous, you know? Mm. So it's like, where you get flustered, you start panicking. So I think you need a bit of squeaky bum before you can say, right, I'm going to resign and go all in. But I would definitely, and then test it. If it, one habit that perhaps women have more than men do is, if that business idea fails, we start blanketing all business ideas.
I'm just a bad businesswoman.
It's not for me. See, I tried, I failed. No, yeah. But the guys will fail time and time again and keep going, pick themselves up, keep going. So you need to have that resilience as well.
Yeah, and I think one thing we didn't touch on was this whole thing of leaving the comfort of being employed to being self-employed. Yeah. And
a squiggly
career. And even however many income streams you have, but if all the taps are closed and then you're like, what is this? And, you know, for me, since I started, so it's been over a year now since I quit my job, and some months are...
And you didn't die.
I didn't die.
You're not hungry.
I'm not homeless.
And you're not homeless.
No.
Alhamdulillah.
But it's like, 1 month can be incredible. Yeah. You're like, oh, I'm rich. Yeah. This is it. I mean it. The next month, nothing comes in. You're like, okay, no need to panic yet. Mm-hmm. Then you have 2 months in a row. You're like, no need to panic yet. Yeah. And then 3 months in a row and you're like, okay, time to panic.
Right.
So then it's that management of your emotions as well around... believing in that abundance of money that comes in. But yeah,
you should in those scenarios, like, okay, you should have your set amount. This is the amount I need each month to not be homeless, to not be hungry, and live to that standard, but be able to buy whatever you want. But with ever, you see that month where you made that rich money, that if you'd have invested that and forgotten about it, you wouldn't have been homeless, you wouldn't have been hungry, and that money could have seen you through till the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So money mindset.
All right, I think we've run out of time.
Okay,
so thank you so much.
I've run out of advice.
I don't think so. But thank you so much for being here, Sylvia.
It's
this
been
was
a pleasure.
Incredible.
It's good fun.